There are a number of things going on that concern us all, no doubt, with so many deaths from shootings, from the storms, accidents, and just concerns that we have as we watch and listen to the news. And so we keep in our prayers those that have lost loved ones, of course. But our study this morning will deal with a physical conflict that was coming up, and everybody of the men, that is, needed to be involved. Well, we're going to relate this to the situation with members of the church, not just men, but all members of the church, in regards to the need to be involved in the work of the church, as we are in a spiritual battle. Yes, and we want to relate this to ourselves, as we certainly want to be active members of the body of Christ. And we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And certainly we all need to be doing that. We want to take this time now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're studying God's precious word in our Bible classes, but also as we gather to worship in the assembly, we're striving to worship God in a proper attitude, thus in spirit. And we're wanting to follow the New Testament pattern, thus in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. And we want to emphasize this. We're always glad to study the Bible with anyone. And we're certainly appreciative of Bible questions that you may have. Your comments are always welcome, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, or our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let's get into our study as we're going to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 32. And this is where we'll find the Israelites in the 39th year of the wandering, getting ready to go into the promised land. They had defeated Og, king of Bashan, and Sihon, the king of the Amorites, on the east side of the Jordan River back in Numbers 21. And so as we get into chapter 32 here, we find in the early verses that the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And as they saw the land there in Jazer and in the land of Gilead, well, they knew that was a good place for their cattle. And so they came to Moses and to Eleazar the priest, the princes of the congregation, and they asked if they could stay on the east side of the Jordan so they could utilize the land there for cattle. And again, they had much cattle. Well, what we're going to find is Moses was concerned that they were going to be like the 10 spies. Remember the 12 spies who went over into the land of Canaan? Yes, it was the land of milk and honey, just as the Lord said. And God had promised them that they would receive the land, but the 10 spies were afraid. They were saying they were like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants, but not Joshua and Caleb. No, sir. They said, "Let us take it." Caleb, what did he say? "Let us go up at once and take it. It's ours. God has given it to us," in other words. Well, and notice, well, let's go to verse 11. You'll see here, "Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. And then you go to verse 12 and you see here's the two exceptions, Caleb and Joshua, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So this is the situation now, as we see with Moses being concerned after they had made their request. And now go to verse 6 of Numbers 32. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? You're going to break their heart, in other words. And thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely, not, as we just read a moment ago, none of those men are going to that came out of Egypt are going into the land except Joshua, Caleb and Joshua. Verse 13, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. In other words, they died out. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. That's how serious it was. Moses was concerned that they're going to be like the 10 spies, as he recounted. And so he said, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? Now that makes a great lesson as we go to the Old Testament. And there's so many wonderful lessons that we can apply to ourselves. Yes, we're under the law of Christ, but these lessons, yes, we can apply to the church today. So we want to ask ourselves, do we fight the good fight of faith? Are we laying hold unto eternal life? 1 Timothy 6:12. Or are we just sitting on the sidelines and letting the other brethren do the work? There's usually a core in the congregations of the Lord's church that do most of the work. Yes, we sometimes refer to the faithful few, but it shouldn't be that way. We're all bought with the price that's precious, that being the blood of Christ, if we've obeyed the gospel. And we should not take that lightly. Look what the Lord has done for us. What are we going to do for the Lord? Sit around and let others do the work? We shouldn't be like that, and every one of us knows that, if we're honest. And so let's pick back up here in Numbers 32 and notice verses 16 and 17. And they came near unto him, that is Moses, and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them unto their place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Now, the men of Reuben and Gad, that's what they're saying to Moses. Yes, we're going to go with you into the land and go to battle. We're going to prepare for our little ones and our wives to be taken care of here on the east side of the Jordan, but we're going ready armed. We're not going unprepared. Well, again, the lesson here for us today, as we live the Christian life, it can be compared to a war in the spiritual sense. Well, yes, it can. Notice 1 Timothy 1:18. As Paul admonishes the young evangelist Timothy, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy," he was Paul's son in the faith, "according to the prophecies which went out before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now this is talking about a spiritual warfare, isn't it? We know that it is. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, again, Paul admonishes the young evangelist, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We need to be good soldiers in the Lord's army. And a good soldier needs to be prepared. That is, ready armed. Yes, just as the Reubenites and Gadites were telling Moses, they're going to be ready armed when they go into battle. Well, of course, our weapons in the Christian faith are not carnal. We should understand that. But notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's right. We need to continue in our obedience to Christ. After we've obeyed the gospel, we're not finished. Oh no, we're just beginning our life as a babe in Christ, and now we're to grow and continue in the faith and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, as we'll see concerning the armor that we're to put on. As Paul writes to the Church of Christ at Ephesus, beginning in verse 10, going through 17 of Ephesians 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Notice that. That's certainly true, isn't it? "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." That's right. Having done all to stand. Put every effort into it. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." What's our weapon? It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we have a very powerful sword, and we should not lay it down. That's right. Hebrews 4, verse 12, we should all know this verse. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It cuts both ways, doesn't it? Yes, the word of God is quick and powerful, and we need to utilize the power that we have with God's word. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Yes, this is the power of God unto salvation. and every Christian needs to spread the gospel. Now, we can't all be preachers and teachers, no, but we can be prepared with God's word to teach others as we have opportunity to share with them. Here's what God's word says about what we must do in order to become a Christian. How are we to worship God? How's the church to be organized? What's the work of the church? Yes, all these things are in the New Testament pattern, and we should know how to share with others these doctrinal matters. And certainly be armed against Satan's darts also that are going to be hurled at us by knowing God's word, as we saw there in verse 16 of Ephesians 6. And so as we know the great commission given by Christ before he ascended up into heaven, as all power had been given unto him in heaven and in earth, therefore he had the authority to commission his apostles to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So they were to teach others what Jesus had taught them, and thus we're all under the Great Commission. And let's appreciate the great charge that we have and carry it out as good soldiers, ready armed in the Lord's army. But let's go on in our study and notice now verse 23, as Moses warns them, but if ye will not do so, as they said they would, and they would be ready armed, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And so Moses reminded the tribes of Reuben and Gad, just as we Christians in the Lord's church today need to be reminded. Yes, we need to be reminded, because how many have already forgotten how they were cleansed of their sins, have gone back into the world, are no longer meeting faithfully with God's people. Yes, we need to be reminded what happens when one forgets God. In Jude 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. That's just what we're studying this morning, what we read earlier there in Numbers 32, that they would be consumed, verse 13. So we need to ask ourselves, are we putting other things first before God? If we're certainly putting other things first, then we are forgetting God, aren't we? Well, that would be the case. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do both. We're going to have to make a choice. And we need to choose Christ and serve him and his army. Yes, and love him and hold to him. Yes, we cannot serve God and mammon. Let's remember that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's verse 33 of Matthew 6, isn't it? Let's be sure we're putting that to practice. So we need to be reminded that God requires each of us to fight the war, not to take a seat, not to sit on the sidelines as the other members are doing all the work. Yes, Paul, as much as he had done in the work of the church, did not get the attitude that he could just rest on what he had accomplished. Oh, no. Notice what he said in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that would include putting those things behind that are both positive and negative. What if Paul had kept reminding himself about how he had persecuted the church, just punished himself, and he couldn't, you know, go on because of, he just wasn't able to do so because of what he had done. Well, that wouldn't have been right. We all should see that. Of course not. So Paul had to put that behind too. Now, we can't just erase our memories, but we don't want to let our past sins that we're forgiven of drag us down. If we've been forgiven of them, we can go on and continue in serving God faithfully, thankful for the forgiveness of our sins. And so Paul would forget not only the positive, he's not going to rest on the good things that he had done in serving God, but he's not going to allow the negative to weigh him down either. So let's remember that. And notice 2 Timothy 4:6-8. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. Yes, Paul was a good soldier in the Lord's army. He had fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That's right. We need to look forward to the second coming as long as we are prepared. Prepared for eternity. So Paul fought till he died in the Lord's service. He didn't quit. No, he did not. And notice in 2 Peter 3:18, we need to be reminded that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we want to add to our faith the Christian graces. This is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Notice that. We're to add these things to our faith. Virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, self-control. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we adding the Christian graces to our faith and thus having that entrance, yes, into the everlasting kingdom before us? We need to look forward to that, do we not? We certainly should. Notice what Peter said in verse 12, here still in 2 Peter 1. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So yes, we need to be reminded that we need to continue on being faithful in the Lord's church. And notice one other point, excuse me, that we want to make in our study is verse 22. That's here in Numbers 32. And the land be subdued before the Lord, then afterward ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. Yes, Moses had said, if you do this thing, if you will go armed before the Lord to war, yes, then this is going to be the result. You're going to be receiving their land as a reward. And of course, How does this apply to us today? As Christians, we will receive our reward in heaven. We're talking about, of course, the spiritual blessing of those that remain faithful, even if it means their death. Yes, the reward of heaven is before us. Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved where? In heaven for you. That's right. We need to appreciate that. And Jesus said in Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. That's right. This is the promise of our Lord. But we're going to be, notice, we're going to receive our reward as according as our work shall be, not somebody else's. And so as we close out our study this morning, as Christians in the Lord's church, are we fighting for the Lord's cause, or are we sitting on the side and doing little of nothing but watching the others do the work? Well, we're all God's children, and we all need to be growing. If we're not growing, what are we doing? We're dying. If you have obeyed the gospel, then certainly you are a soldier in the Lord's army. And you and I both need to continue fighting the good fight of faith until our death. But if you have not obeyed the gospel, then you're on the wrong side. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Matthew 12:30. Do not wait another hour, but become a soldier in the Lord's army by becoming a New Testament Christian. First of all, we must hear the truth. This is how our faith comes, Romans 10:17. Now we're ready to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He died for our sins, making it all possible. And then we're ready to repent, making a change of wills, doing the will of God. And now we're ready to make that good confession unto salvation. And then we're ready to be baptized into the body of Christ. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin, but serve the Lord. That's right. That's Romans 6:3-6, isn't it? And we all need to know what to do in order to be saved. If we're going to be saved, that's the only way we're going to know, is going to God's Word. And we want to thank you so much for listening today.